This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Tuesday morning to you. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. We are still buzzing over the weekend. That was the National Football League. And I knew this would happen because it follows suit. It almost like every year we have something that comes up. We win a playoff game, and then we process it, and then we kind of discuss it. And before you know it, everybody's writing about it. And that is, should the NFL change its overtime? We'll dive into a little bit of that. But I think I want to really start with the game between the Bills and the Chiefs, and really the larger story of that game, which is these were two organizations that found their quarterback in a rather unusual way. Right? Cincinnati has a quarterback in Joe Burrow that everybody would have taken if they had the number one pick in the draft. He was coming off an LSU national championship, Heisman Trophy, all of the tools, check all of the boxes. And Cincinnati is going to benefit from this guy for a long period of time. He's the up-and-coming AFC quarterback that we talked about with Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson and Mahomes and Allen and all these young quarterbacks in that conference. They're going to make the conference fun for the next decade or so. But in Kansas City's case, and I know we've talked about it a number of times, they really took a risk on Patrick Mahomes. They saw some things that they really, really liked, and when they were able to move up in the draft to get him, there was a lot of C grades, C plus grades based on that draft pick. Mahomes wasn't the Patrick Mahomes that we know today in college. Yet they saw things that they liked enough. And always remember, this is the one thing that I think it's overlooked sometimes on the Patrick Mahomes rise. They had Alex Smith, and Alex Smith was getting them to the playoffs. It wasn't like the Chiefs were struggling. It wasn't like the Chiefs were a losing football team. They were going to the playoffs. But they still loved Mahomes enough to get rid of Smith and make him the starter in his second year and gave the reins to him, and look how it's paid off. Similarly, look at the way Buffalo Bills had drafted Josh Allen, this kind of unknown quarterback from Wyoming. Very, very few people saw anything of him in college. And the same sort of process. Saw something they liked, said that's the guy, and look at what he's turned into. Confidence, poise, can make throws, can run, makes plays, thinks smart, all of the things you want in a quarterback. And now these two guys have been elevated to the higher echelon of the game because two teams saw something in them that a lot of other teams and people did not. And that's what you want when you're looking for a QB.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on a Tuesday. And again, still buzzing over the weekend of the NFL divisional round. And then we'll be starting to look ahead at the championship game, Bengals and Chiefs. And you know, the Kansas City Chiefs have won 11 of 12, I think. Remember when they were struggling at the beginning of the season, they caught this win streak. So if you add the two playoff victories, I think it's 11 out of the last 12. And who was the one team that beat them during that tire run? Oh, yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals. So, again, you'll hear a little bit more talk about that particular game, although this one, of course, will be an Arrowhead. And then the division rivals in the West, San Francisco taking on the L.A. Rams. But I do think that it's important to continue to digest the weekend that we had among the four games in the divisional round, including the Chiefs and the Bills game, because, again, you get these games, everybody buzzes about them, everybody's excited about them, writers run to their computers to write something really profound about this game, but then there's going to be some sort of, well, okay, let me think about what exactly took place. And then you're starting to see people write about the overtime rule. Oh, this is so unfair, the Bills never got the ball, and same thing. You could almost take the same article that people wrote a couple of years ago when Kansas City didn't get the ball against the Patriots. And you could just change sort of the details of the article and you'd still have the same thing, right? It's unfair. Patrick Mahomes never got the ball, right? When they played the Patriots, when Brady drove them down the field in the AFC title game a couple of years ago. Same thing here. Josh Allen never got the football. There is no real good answer to this, unfortunately. It just isn't. I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons from the ideas that have been kind of bantied about. Should you play 10 minutes of football and just let the game play out the way it's supposed to play out? That's been on the table. I don't mind that per se. I don't think you want a different playoff than overtime than the regular season, but I don't think it's the end of the world if you do, right? I mean, in hockey, for example, we go to a hockey game during the regular season. They play 5 minutes of overtime, then they get into a shootout. You get a winner. Both teams get a point, and they move on. But in the playoffs in the NHL, they'll play until 3 o'clock in the morning if they have to. They'll play 4 overtimes if they have to, each one of them 20 minutes. That's just the way playoffs are. You just have to do it that way. And I don't think it's the end of the world if the league said, hey, during the regular season, we really don't want games to go forever, so we're going to put this rule in place. But when we get to the postseason, that's going to change. And it's going to change because the playoffs matter. There's a lot more focus on how that game is played, and the winner of that game gets, you know, it's not just a regular season win or a loss. It really is going to, you know, send somebody deeper into the postseason. So we want to make sure it's as fair as possible. That's fine. But there really isn't an answer. I know people say, let's do it the college way. Yeah, okay. Would the NFL really copy what the college game is doing? I don't think so. What about if you just give each team a possession and then make it sudden death after that? So the Bills could have responded after that touchdown and need a touchdown of their own. And had they gotten that, it would have been sudden death. But I think you run into the same problem that we're talking about now, right? What people are trying to avoid in the playoffs, is in the overtime of the playoffs, is the coin flip having that much influence. And that's what they're trying to avoid. And there is a thought process here that I think people who are, they're not exactly supporting the overtime rule, but what they're saying is, well, play some defense. Well, yes, that is true. There are 11 guys that have to play defense, and they should be playing some defense. But at the same time, if I'm the Chiefs and I win the toss and I get the ball and I go down the field and score a touchdown, guess what I didn't have to do in overtime? I didn't have to play defense. So it is a little bit difficult to say to one team, you've got to play defense and make a stop, and then tell the other team, and you don't have to. And here's the other problem that the NFL has. Everything that they've done in terms of rule changes over the last couple of years benefit offense. It makes scoring easier, right? You can't touch a receiver in certain spots. You can't go after the quarterback like you used to. All of these things benefit the offense. So you're taking the defense and you're putting them into you absolutely must conform to the way we operate in this league in terms of the benefit the offense has, and your backs are against the wall. Should you fail, you're going to lose this football game, and it's all going to be on you. And I think during the regular game, during regulation, you tend to be a little bit less risky. You know, there's a longer game. Maybe towards the end, you have to gamble a little bit. But in overtime, think about the offense in overtime. They really have to take some chances. They can't do a couple of running plays, hope it works. If not, throw it on third down, punt it away. They have to take some chances because the moment they punt, the moment that ball is in the air, it's now sudden death. It becomes a sudden death football game. And so if you're on offense, you need to move the ball down the field. Now, kick a field goal, fine, because that at least gives you an opportunity to hold them to a field goal and get into sudden death. But if you punt it away, now all they need to do is find a way to score, and they win the football game. I like all of the proposals that have been coming out, and they've been coming out they were coming out all day yesterday from different people on Twitter, articles that were written. I saw one article, they're like, here are 5 ways to do it. Some are really too complex to actually be considered by the league. I know we really, I get it. I understand the frustration to have a game like that decided on the coin flip / efficiency of the Kansas City offense to score a touchdown. just like we saw the Patriots do the exact same thing. And they did it in the Super Bowl as well. Remember the Atlanta Falcons? They drove down the field and scored a touchdown and won the Super Bowl. Tim Tebow threw a slant shot to Demaryius Thomas against the Steelers in the playoffs, and that was all she wrote. And nobody seemed to complain that Ben Roethlisberger didn't get the ball back, although I did. Nevertheless, I don't know what the solution is, and I don't know if the NFL wants to sort of muddy the water here. There is a reason why this is in place. It's in place because it was a better system than sudden death immediately. But I don't think you change just because you didn't like or there's a little outrage in an outcome. Right? It was working. People were complaining about it. But at least it was sort of giving teams an opportunity. And the way kickers are, the old way wasn't working. You didn't have to go that far to kick a field goal and just slam it through the uprights on the opening possession. I think there was one statistic where 60% of the from like 1994 to 2010, I think like 60-61% of the teams that won the coin toss went on to win on the opening possession of the game. So they wanted to change it a little bit. If you could get a stop, then you get the ball. But because that hasn't worked at the highest level, at the games that are getting most attention, now we're back to this sort of idea of, well, we should change it again. The problem is nobody has a solution. And if you don't have a solution, then you're just complaining. I don't have a solution. I don't. I've thought about different ones. I don't like the college overtime. To be honest with you, I'm not a fan of the overtime in college.
What if they just went another quarter?
Well, that's what I was thinking, right? You could play
a full quarter and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that works in the regular season, but it could work here.
Yeah, I mean, they did that in soccer. You know, soccer used to be, all overtime used to be sudden death, and now they play two 15-minute halves. And if it's still tied after that, then they go to penalty kicks. We could never do penalty kicks in the NFL, but what if you just said, you know, we're going to play a shortened quarter, 10 minutes, because that's how long it is, then we're going to play it all the way through.
Why is it that in soccer, why doesn't soccer on its biggest stage say no penalty kicks? Like World Cup and things. Just say because play until you drop.
I think because it's harder to score, that you could end up with, you know, like
games that last 2 days.
Yeah, a game that lasts too long, and then that's an unfair advantage going forward.
Yeah, here's why I'm bringing that up is because I feel like gimmick stuff is tricky, like to decide game, right? You know, like that's one of the reasons I'm not a huge fan of college overtime, and it is because I just think it's gimmicky, right? It's exciting. Don't get me wrong, it's exciting. It's kind of cool, but it's kind of gimmicky. And I think if you're the NFL for your playoffs, you don't want gimmicky. Like I just think you say to the league, to the teams, guys, look, regular season, this is the way we're going to do it, just like the old days. You score a touchdown, the game's over.
Yeah.
You kick a field goal, they get a chance to respond. But when we get to the playoffs, we're going to do a full 10 minutes. And when the 10 minutes are over, who's ever left standing is who's ever left standing.
And if it's tied, go to it. Right. You know, maybe I guess you do another 10 minutes.
That way you are just saying to both teams, rather than saying to one defensive side, oh, now you do something the other side may not have to do. Mm-hmm. You put the onus on both teams. You go, now just play.
Because it's
if they go on a 9.5-minute drive and score a touchdown and you're left with 30 seconds, you're left with 30 seconds. That's your fault.
And we found that's too much time.
Right. That's too much time.
But I mean, you know, this is the only time where, like, you know, something like baseball or basketball can hold their heads up and go, we have that figured out.
Right. Exactly. That's very true.
Because baseball, both sides get a chance to, you know, both sides get a chance to bat. Basketball, you know, you play a 5-minute overtime. Everyone gets to touch the ball.
And in hockey the same way. Look, like hockey doesn't have a problem. Like I don't hear hockey people say Edmonton and like Boston are playing in the fourth overtime, they wouldn't play in the playoffs, but unless the Stanley Cup, I get it. But they wouldn't say, oh, where's the shootout? No, we play until 3 o'clock in the morning if we have to.
Yeah.
Like some of the best moments are when a game is in like four overtimes.
We love hockey.
We love it.
Playoff hockey.
I remember one night, years and years ago, my wife and I were watching a game, and she's like, she really likes hockey. For a Florida girl, I don't know how she loves hockey.
Because she didn't grow up with it.
That's
why.
But we caught a game between, like, Calgary and somebody, I think, that was going into, like, three overtimes. And it was, like, a Friday night. We just stayed up to watch it. Like, we weren't going to go to bed. Just until we didn't care who won the game. We were just like, let's just watch this and see what happens.
Is that
it
the
went
fear?
Forever.
And is that the fear of the NFL? Like, oh, but what if we get a game that goes three overtimes?
Yeah. Well, what? Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. We don't talk about, you know, these 17 inning marathon baseball games all the time.
Just... Why don't you put a break in there? Like, after 10 minutes, disappear for 10 minutes and come back and play another 10 minutes. Like, you don't have to play 10 minutes and then jump right into another 10 minutes. You can go to the locker room for 10, come back. You can do whatever you want. Right? Like, let's be honest here.
Yeah, you're not losing viewers.
Right. Like, you can make this however you want to make this. And I don't think the networks would have a problem with going back to a studio and having the people at the studio yap about it for a few minutes before they send it back.
Are you telling me that they would preempt 60 minutes?
Yeah, right, exactly. Except for those of us on the West Coast.
You'll get local programming preempted.
You get local programming. That's exactly right. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Coming up, I just talked at the top of the hour about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. I want to get into more details on that because it may be the new way teams are looking at quarterbacks as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. I started at the top of the hour saying, look, here were Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, who are now on the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the National Football League, performing a fantastic show for us on Sunday night. And both came into the league, you know, not really in the same way. I mean, look, Allen was at Wyoming. It's a Mountain West school. Sure, the Mel Kuypers of the world sort of knew about him. And then he won, I think it was like the Potato Bowl or something like that, and ended up catching the eye of a lot of people. I mean, I think Kuyper thought he would be like the number one pick over Baker Mayfield. But nevertheless, Allen did go in the top 10 going to the Buffalo Bills. But for many people, they didn't really know much about him. Patrick Mahomes, people kind of knew. You know, the average fan knew about Patrick Mahomes if he kind of followed college football. He's a Big 12 quarterback. But when he got drafted, the Kansas City Chiefs moved up to get him, and they moved up because they really, really liked what they saw. And the same thing with Allen. Allen seemed to be a quarterback that had a lot of different kinds of skills, even though he played at Wyoming. And the statistics at Wyoming weren't all that flashy, but he had some extremely talented, really strong arm, was big, could run, you know, could run fast. So there was a lot of like these intangibles, if you will, that the Buffalo Bills really liked. And when you, again, we see the AFC and we see all of the rise of the quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks are going to make the conference a lot of fun. And these two guys sort of are on the top end of that. But there is a sort of 1A, 1B category. Like, I wouldn't put Lamar Jackson further down that far. I wouldn't put Joe Burrow down that far. I wouldn't put Justin Herbert down that far. I mean, there's going to be a lot of young quarterbacks in this conference. But I also think, again, it's got to be daunting for teams like the Tennessee Titans, who are sort of built on strong defense, strong running game, and a quarterback that can do some things, but he doesn't do everything. That's got to be daunting, because that way of winning football games might be good for a year or two, but in the long run, it may not work in sort of getting you to a championship, right? I mean, if the Titans had beat the Bengals, and by the way, they should have beaten the Bengals. But I wouldn't know, even though they went and they beat Kansas City in the regular season, I wouldn't want to touch Kansas City right now at all. At all. I don't care if I beat them in week 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 or whenever. I don't care if I'm Cincinnati and I just beat them in week 17. I don't think I want to catch Kansas City right now. Right? The Titans, again, had a really good season. I mean, they were the number one seed in the AFC. They benefited going 3-1 against two really terrible football teams. But the way Mike Vrabel was able to continue winning football games without Derrick Henry really should have him up in that voting for coach of the year. But in the end, they would have needed all of that to work perfectly, the defense especially, against what Kansas City is doing right now. And even if the Buffalo Bills had won that game and Tennessee had won it, still the same thing. The fact of the matter is, the Titans couldn't get by Cincinnati. And it wasn't because Burrow blew them away. It's because in the end, they had a quarterback that threw some interceptions, made some bad throws. Derrick Henry wasn't really fully healthy. You know, he gave it his good old college try because it was the postseason. And they believed in their own hype. When they scored their first touchdown on the Wildcat from Derrick Henry, they went out for the extra point. They were lined up on it. They got it, and then there was a penalty, and it got to move down to the goal line, and they went, we'll just blast Henry in again. When he failed to get into the end zone, they didn't get the two-point conversion. That hurt them in the end. Now, again, I'm one of those people that says just because they didn't score a point there would have meant you just add a point at the end of the game. Who knows how the game would have followed suit after that. But the reality of it is there was no need to go for two there. I get it. You got Derrick Henry, and you're really close to the goal line, but you took a point off the board. Don't take points off the board. Right? I really, really have to tell you that as a fan of a team that doesn't have a quarterback, it makes me nervous for the future of success for my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, to know that they better land their quarterback right. They have to land it perfectly. They better find a guy that is going to be in this group of young quarterbacks, or it is going to be an extremely long decade. Because this is a buzzsaw conference now. This isn't just Tom Brady, and if you could figure out that probably will put you in the Super Bowl. This is possibly going into the playoffs facing three of these quarterbacks en route. If of any of them, I don't care. Justin Herbert in the first round, Josh Allen in round two, Patrick Mahomes in round three. If you're a team that can't find its young gun, everything works for them quarterback, you're gonna be in for a long haul to try to get to the Super Bowl. These guys, and again, you put. It's Allen, it's Mahomes, it's Herbert, it's Burrow, it's Jackson, it could be Trevor Lawrence down the road. These guys are going to be dominating this conference for a while. And if you're the Steelers and you're looking around, you better make sure you land it. And if you're the Patriots, you better make sure Mac Jones turns out to be everything you think he is today. And he turns into one of these guys that can go toe-to-toe. Look, make no mistake about it. Football is 11 on 11. It is offense against defense. It is not quarterback versus quarterback. But look at me on Sunday night. That was a quarterback battle. That was Allen versus Mahomes. That was a heavyweight fight. Football games are not supposed to be that way. Just like in baseball, it's not supposed to be pitcher versus pitcher. It's pitcher against your batters and their pitcher against our batters. And football is the same way. But it was a heavyweight fight between these two quarterbacks. And you know what? Cincinnati, and I was talking about this with Frank Schwab yesterday. Cincinnati, because they've beaten Kansas City before, has just enough confidence in moxie to go in there and do it again. I know it's at Arrowhead, different place to play. You could see it in Buffalo. There were times where that crowd got to the Bills. It'll get to Cincinnati. But they have just enough moxie to go in there and beat Kansas City one more time. And if they're in the Super Bowl, If that Bengals team gets to the Super Bowl, that's another conference team that is going to go into the offseason going, well, now we're one of the elite teams in the AFC. Boy, it is bright in that conference. And look at what's going on in the NFC. Can we just be honest about what's going on in the NFC? Think about the four teams that we're playing. What did we get of the four quarterbacks there? Tom Brady at 44, we don't even know if he's playing next year. Aaron Rodgers, we're not even sure if he's going to play next year or play for the Packers. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be on the 49ers next season, likely. And Matt Stafford is a quarterback that has spent so many years in Detroit, I forget how old he is. Right? I mean,
he could be a rookie.
Right? That's where we're at with the NFC, right? Older quarterbacks or a quarterback we don't want anymore. And in the AFC, they can't get enough of these young gunslingers that are going to take their franchise to super high levels for the next 10 years.
Ryan Tannehill's the
elder statesman
right.
in that group.
Ryan Tannehill, the elder statesman of the AFC quarterback group. Unbelievable. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we had to look it up. Matt Stafford is 33 years old. If you had told me he was 36, I would have said, sure, why not?
Sounds right.
Yeah, definitely not in his 20s. But we just looked up Matt Stafford. He's got a lot of cool records, like most yards thrown in a game without a touchdown. What was it, 430 yards?
443.
How do you throw for 443 yards and zero touchdowns? And
I guess you got it to the one-yard line every time.
Yeah, exactly. Handed the ball off to somebody.
I don't even know if he won the game.
That's crazy. Let me guess. Not. He probably didn't. Oh, that's the NFC for you. Got reclamation projects. You got quarterback. Like, seriously, the 49ers could go to the Super Bowl with the quarterback they're like, can't wait to get rid of.
Yeah.
Right? They are one win away from going to the Super Bowl with a quarterback they're going to dump. Like, can you imagine, like, in all seriousness, the 49ers are going, let's say they beat the Rams. The 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, they should secretly promote how good Jimmy Garoppolo is as a teammate. Just let stories leak out about, like, hey, ESPN, you want to do a feature on Garoppolo about how great he is as a teammate?
You know, normally you'll have some of these guys who will talk about their quarterbacks and, you know, he's a great guy. I don't even know if I've ever heard that. Like, has George Kittle ever said anything positive about him?
I don't either.
Like, that's my quarterback?
Remember, they won a game without him scoring an offensive touchdown. Like, he didn't score a touchdown in the offense. And you know, they had to get a blocked punt touchdown to put themselves in position to beat that game against the Packers.
By the way, just in case you guys were curious, he did lose that game. Throwing for 443.
He did lose that game. Who was it against?
It was against the Falcons. This was 2012. He lost 31-18.
So he threw for 443
yards.
43 yards and lost and only managed 18 points?
Yeah.
There must have been six field goals. Are they, you know.
But then
must
again,
have been
how
like,
do you,
I threw
how
for
do you do
79
that?
To get us down to the 11. And then we couldn't punch it in, so we kicked a field goal. That's crazy. That is really crazy. Good old Matt Stafford. I don't know. I don't have a rooting interest in this. I really don't. I'm kind of pulling for him a little bit. I've always liked Matt Stafford. I always thought he really gave it his all in Detroit. He really did. They just didn't have a team around him. And he really went out there and slung it around as much as he could. I don't know. The Niners went there 2 years ago. I'm kind of pulling for Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, do you want another Niners Chiefs?
Right. No, I don't want another Niners Chiefs.
Do we want Niners Bengals?
That would be the third time in the history of the Super Bowl. That would be kind of cool.
But not a rubber match.
That would join Steelers Cowboys. That's the only other three times.
But Steelers Cowboys is iconic. I don't feel that way with Niners Bengals.
No, it is not. It's not on that level. It wasn't even on the level when they met for the second time in 89. It wasn't even like, you never felt like that was like a Super Bowl thing.
Like, ooh, a rematch.
It just happened to be the Niners would go to yet another Super Bowl, and there were, oh, they're playing Cincinnati again. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, you know, I think Steelers-Cowboys became the thing in the 70s, and then it sort of, as the NFL was growing in popularity, there became, like Mike myself, like jumped on that train with one of those particular teams. My brother jumped on the Cowboys. There were a lot of us around the country, and then it just kind of kept it up. And so that like if you see Steelers-Cowboys today, like in the regular season when they meet every 4 years, it's cool, but it doesn't carry the same sort of pow that it used to. But, you know, if they meet in the Super Bowl again, you're like, oh, this is just like old times. I don't think we'll say that if the Bengals and the 49ers meet in the playoffs again. Oh, they'll probably talk about Montana to John Taylor, and they'll probably talk about Super Bowl 16 with John Madden using the Telestrator and all of that. Yeah, of course. But I don't think it would be like, old rivalry renewed when the Bengals and the 49ers meet for Super Bowl 56. I don't think I'll have that. But I do think if Kansas City wins this game, Kansas City going to three straight Super Bowls, You know, that puts them, that puts that organization and this run of Patrick Mahomes is a historic moment, right? That's pretty, you know, that's very, very good. Very few teams gone to three straight Super Bowls, whether you win or lose, just getting to that game three straight times. All right, so as I was talking earlier about these quarterbacks, and I'm really, again, high on the AFC. I think it's fine. I think everybody is, right? And I do have to say this. I do think that the Manning Brady comparison, while it's natural to go to, I do have to say that the one thing that Manning and Brady had when they had this longevity, and they played each other every year because they would finish in first place and whatnot, while there was Roethlisberger and while there were some other quarterbacks, they were really way above, right? They were really well, way above. I don't know if this, I think this young quarterback group could be right behind these two guys. Like, especially Burrow. What if Burrow goes in there and goes head-to-head with Mahomes in a similar kind of game, but he wins?
Yeah.
Like, what if he wins?
And it's possible.
And it is possible. It is possible. And he goes to the Super Bowl. Then it becomes, all right, now you got to talk about three guys in that. Now, then Justin Herbert gets his shot, and Tua and Lamar Jackson get their shot. Notice I'm not saying Baker Mayfield anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, remember that quarterback class was so highly touted, we don't talk about the first two taken.
We don't even talk about them.
Sam Darnold's not even the AFC anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Sam Darnold isn't even around anymore.
But, I mean, you know, to that credit, we might be able to start talking that way about Mac Jones. I don't know yet.
We might. Who knows?
I don't know. But, I mean, He's already taken his team to the playoffs.
He sure has. I wouldn't take anything away from that.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like a fluke. They won enough games to qualify for the postseason, even though it was expanded.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson has been there. I mean, you know, maybe Deshaun Watson.
Maybe. Yeah, Deshaun Watson is the big question, right? Deshaun Watson is, where is he going to be? If he stays in the AFC, he is certainly in that conversation. Yeah. If he goes to NFC or never plays again, I doubt he'll never play again. I think this situation finds a way to come to some resolution and somebody gives him a chance.
I think he needs a new team. I don't think he can go back to the Texans.
No, he's not going back to the Texans.
And, you know, no matter who they bring as a coach, no matter what hatchets have been buried, anything, I think there's too much. It's too salty now.
Right.
And I think the Texans organization has moved on. I think they're all in on Davis Mills.
Davis Mills. But again, if you're a Texans fan, right, how are you excited about Davis Mills? If you're a Steelers fan, how are you excited about anybody that is currently in the NFL right now that could be your quarterback, right?
I think it's like apples and oranges there,
right,
bud.
It's like you don't have what the best teams in the conference have.
Yeah.
Look, the thing, when the Patriots were dominating for 20 years, right, you would say, look, I don't need a Brady, but I've got to figure out what I can do to beat them. And the team that came the closest that I think to putting a team together that would consistently challenge the Patriots in the postseason and beat them, I think, twice, was the Baltimore Ravens. Right? I think they beat them. They might have only beat them once. They almost beat them when Lee Evans dropped a pass in the end zone. The Ravens had the combination of a defense and a good quarterback, not an excellent quarterback, but a good enough quarterback in Joe Flacco, and they could run the ball with Ray Rice, right? That was a team that seemed to be able to just sort of, they built themselves just good enough to be competitive with what Patriots would do. So then Patrick Mahomes comes, and what, you know, the Bills get their own version of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And now the Bengals have Joe Burrow and all of this other stuff. If you're a team right now and you are in the need of a quarterback position, they're like, how excited could you possibly be? Like, you're going to need something else, and that something else still not be good enough. Right. Like I was saying earlier, the Titans are built to run the ball and play have their quarterback not make mistakes. The quarterback makes mistakes, they lose football games, like they did against this Bengals team, where they sacked Joe Burrow 9 times, but Tannehill kept getting passes botched in the air and people coming down with it in Bengals uniforms. If that Titans team had won, I don't care if they beat Kansas City convincingly. This is not the same Kansas City team. I don't know if the recipe is we're going to be a stout defensive team and then we're just going to run the ball and have a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. I don't know if that works against quarterbacks that can sling it in windows that are just as narrow as a strip of paper. Right? I mean, that throw that Josh Allen made in the game and to Cole Beasley. Remember when Beasley was just cutting onto the inside and there was he was got a defender hanging all over him and Allen just went zip like a laser beam right down the middle, right into his hands. You need a quarterback that can do that. And some of these quarterbacks can't do that.
Or, I mean, you know, late in the fourth quarter when everyone's tired and he's still throwing the ball hard. Like that touchdown, I love the behind the quarterback angle of that touchdown to, Gabriel Davis?
Gabriel Davis, yeah.
I mean, it was on the money, you know, throwing the ball hard before Gabriel Davis even looked for it. And it was just, I mean, perfectly thrown. And it's like that should get you excited about the future of what these young quarterbacks are going to be doing.
It is similar to a running back. Like the way that play came out is it's similar to a running back or a running quarterback when they make the play, when they get the ball and they realize the hole is wide open.
Yeah.
And they just go, and you see them, they just start, you know, stepping their way in, celebrating 5 yards out because there's nobody around him. When Allen goes back and he sees Gabriel Davis with a step on his defender, cutting right into that opening, he knows, oh my God, this is wide open. I just fire it down this lane and he's going to catch it in stride. That was brilliant throw that late to be able to zip it in like that. Davis, the touchdown he threw to Davis before that play where Davis was wide open in the end zone and he falls backwards. Again, just personally, but I bring this to every one of you out there that's rooting for a team that doesn't have your quarterback all locked in right now. It is going to be tough. Like, it's not impossible, but it's really, really going to be tough. Whether it's finding that kid in the draft or I don't even think there's anybody hanging around that you could get off of waivers or whatever that could play that position and be competitive with these guys. I think you have to wait till the next young kid comes up. And by the way these kids are being trained, the way these kids are being brought up to play at the high level in the NFL, there's a good chance you might find one. Right? That's the way it is. It trickles down. So we'll see. All right, on Twitter again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Steve Gardner is going to join us in hour two. We're going to talk to him about the Baseball Hall of Fame voting that's going to be announced today. And also, where exactly is baseball at as we get, a couple of weeks away from pitchers and catchers supposed to report to camp, but yet we are still in this lockout phase as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. As I mentioned earlier, Steve Gardner is going to join us, talk baseball, Hall of Fame ballot. Who's getting into the Hall of Fame will be announced today. It looks like David Ortiz is getting in. We're still wondering if Bonds and Clemens will get enough. It doesn't look like they will, but we'll see. Who knows? We don't know.
The
results. It's like an election. It's like when they give you the electoral map.
Yeah, not all precincts are reporting.
That's exactly. And they're like, the heavy Democratic counties haven't checked in yet. We'll see how that plays itself out. But it does look like David Ortiz will get into the Hall of Fame. I don't know. Like, it's such an old debate. It's almost like Bonds, Clemens, these guys. I don't know. It's so – I've actually run – I remember when I was younger, I tended to care a little more. As I got older, I started to go, just put them in. Like, I don't know why it mattered to me when I was in my 30s, but as I got older, I kind of went, I don't know. I don't know if I'm softening. I don't know if over time I started to realize, you know, maybe we should just put these guys in and just let history be its guide, like let history be history.
Yeah.
But I know there's still bitterness. I know there's still like old writers who are just like, no. I love the game too much, and they tampered with the integrity of the game, and I'll never get them in. Okay, I get it. I understand. But it's not like Pete Rose that, you know, you couldn't vote for Pete Rose. He wasn't on the ballot. You know, like you had to write him in if you wanted Pete Rose. Like these guys are on the ballot. And so you're making a choice not to vote for him. And again, if you're not familiar, I know some of you are, but if you're not familiar how Baseball Hall of Fame is voted. So if you get a vote, you get a ballot. And the ballot has all of the eligible names on it. And then you choose 10. And sometimes what makes it an interesting way to vote is that, let's say David Ortiz, for example, who's going to get in. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, let's say there were a lot of really good Hall of Famers going into their second to last, third to last final year on the ballot. And you start noticing, like, you know what? For whatever reason, they're not getting the 75% that is needed. This is their chance. This is maybe their last chance or second to last chance. You may hold off voting for a guy on his first ballot, so that you can get guys that are going to get guys in on their last to final or second to last ballot. It's a weird way of doing it, but that's kind of the way it is. Sometimes there's just not enough and you just go, all right, fine. Like Todd Helton. I lived in Colorado and I covered the Rockies for 10 years. And I remember Helton's, you know, he was fantastic. Is he Hall of Fame worthy? Yeah, you can make the case, but you could also make the case no, right? Jimmy Rollins, Jeff Kent, David Ortiz, Mark Teixeira. These were some of the names that were on the ballot for this year. So some of the guys are not going to get any votes, and some of the guys are going to get small votes. But you have to get a 75%. It has to be a pure 75%. It can be 74.9, 74.8. It has to be a pure 75% of the ballots, and you get into the Hall of Fame. Does Bonds or Clemens, who haven't gotten in and are on the final ballots of their before it goes to like the Veterans Committee, are they going to all of a sudden out of nowhere get it? There's a belief that there's a younger group that's coming up that is sort of going, yeah, we can put them in. We'll see.